You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Joe, Rob and Anika.
Tēnā koutou katoa ko Joe toku ingoa. No mai hare mai. Welcome to 95BFM's The Playbook with your hosts Rob, Anika and Joe. It's our official debut.
Yeah.
And for the next hour or so, maybe, we don't know yet. We're so glad to bring you all the latest news and sports from around the world. Today we have a really exciting show for you guys.
Well, we'll let you be the judge of that. We think it's good.
Yeah, I mean,
we're having fun.
Absolutely.
We're having so much fun. And you're going to have fun too.
We're going to kick it off. We're going to kick it off with the highlight reel, which is an open panel. It's meant to be a pun, yeah.
Nice.
It's meant to be a pun. And there's going to
I'll see how this is going.
It's going to be many more.
No.
Not if Rob has anything to say about it.
No.
We're going to kick it off with the highlight reel, which is an open panel where we talk about what's happening slash what's happened in the sporting world. We've got People's Main Event, where we look at one specific sport where we think that you should keep tabs on and that's worth watching. We'll also talk about the latest controversial sports news. We've got Rob with Knobhead of the Week. Actually, I think we've got three Knobhead of the Weeks,
yes,
to be honest, between the three of us.
Can't get enough.
I'm looking forward to the hopefully when we all have the same person.
Yeah, I think we should make it a thing we don't tell each other who our Dick of the Week
good
is.
Good point, good point.
Yeah, I don't think we should reveal it.
Until.
And we've also got you covered for the latest and upcoming sports events, which we think you should definitely keep up with.
Highlight reel. That's good.
Me first. Is it me first?
Go ahead.
Right, I'm talking about Premier League. Two lots of Premier Leagues. Got the English Premier League, which is my big love. They're actually on a winter break at the moment. Been on a winter break for 2 weeks, which they really needed because they play so much football over Christmas. Every other European league has Christmas off, but not the UK. They play like games maybe every 3 days, and it's just too much. So they've given them up. But it's actually the January transfer window just shut the other day, at the end of January. And amazingly, £295 million was spent on buying players, which is pretty ridiculous, really.
What's the standard rates?
Well, some players can go for like $45 million, and others can go some players go out on loan. Some players you just want to get rid of them, like Tottenham, we wanted to get rid of a few players.
Yeah.
One of my favourite players, Dele Alli, has actually left to go and join Everton. I was a bit saddened about that because he was really good for us. Probably the biggest spender was Newcastle, who we're actually going to be talking about in our special little feature thing today. But they've bought a few players, but they haven't bought that many. They're really struggling. They are now the world's richest football club because they were bought by Saudi Arabia, which we're going to be talking about later. And they have the very good possibility of being relegated, which I really hope happens. So, right, the top, if you're not into it, Man City are top. They've because of COVID, there's been so many games cancelled. There's been more games postponed, should I say, in the Premier League than any other league in Europe because of COVID restrictions. I think there's about a quarter of the players in the Premiership aren't vaccinated. So good for them. Not good for them, actually. But so when you look at the league, it's very sort of false because some teams haven't played as much as others have. Right. So you've got Man City atop. They've played 24 games. They got 57 points. Then you've got Liverpool. They're second. They've played 22 games, they got 48 points. Man City are away with it. Chelsea paid 24, 47 points. Man United are fourth. They played 22, 38. Now Spurs, my team, they're seventh. We've got 36 points, but we've only played 20 games. If we win the games we haven't played, we could end up third. I don't think that's going to happen because we're shit. got to put it out there. But at the bottom of the table, that's just as exciting, really, because you've got Burnley, Watford and Newcastle are in the relegation zone. Like the bottom three clubs get relegated to the championship. I really hope it happens. I shouldn't really say that. Not many, but I don't know. talked about this before. Newcastle got all the money, but I can't see good players wanting to move to Newcastle. No disrespect to people that come from Newcastle, but it's very cold there and it's very grey. And I can imagine players, maybe like good players, will maybe want to go to London, but they've got so much money they can buy their way out of trouble. So, yeah, I can talk more about it next week because we've got games coming up. But this week, it's a nice little break. But I'm looking forward to it. Now, one of my second favourite sports is the darts. Now, we have the Premiership of Darts coming up. Now, that starts starts on the 5th, New Zealand. 5th, which will be a Saturday, is it? Starting in Cardiff. Now, it's the 2022 Kazoo Premier League of Darts. And the prize money is, I think the winner of it all gets £500,000, but there's £1 million prize money altogether, which is really, really good. I absolutely love it. If you haven't watched darts before, do yourself a favour. You can get it on PDC. It's really, really good. I'm not sure whether it's on Sky. Not really sure. But I'll give you the names of the players. You've got Gerwyn Price, who's a Welsh bloke, who is decided to become the pantomime villain of darts. He just is horrible when he's up there, up on the stage. He gets the crowd are against him and all that. I've seen interviews with him, and he's a really nice bloke. But he's an ex-rugby player, and he looks like sometimes he's having roid rage when he's on the stage. He's all like, ooh, he's all bunched. It's like,
roid rage?
Yeah, do you know when they too much steroids and they get really, really angry?
I love that.
Then you've got Peter Wright, who a lot of people might know. He always has a big snake on the side of his head and a mohawk, and is a right character. Michael Van Gerwen, James Wade, Johnny Clayton, who's also Welsh. Joe Cullen, who won the Masters a couple of days ago, and he's got into that. Gary Anderson and Michael Smith. Each week it's somewhere different. The first one on Saturday is in Cardiff, so all the crowd will be behind Gerwyn Price and Johnny Clayton, and whoever they play against, they will hurl abuse at them and all sorts of stuff. It's a good sport to get into. I recommend it for everybody.
Anika,
yes.
What has been your highlight reel?
Okay, so we're going to talk about the Australian Open men's singles final. All the Oz Open finals are actually really good. Shout out to Ashley Barty, who won an Oz Open for Australia for the first time in like 44 years or something.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, the last time an Australian won the Australian Open was in 1978.
Crowd must have gone nuts, didn't
they? No, they did. Like, it was insane. I mean, good for her, though. Young player. Great game. But I did want to talk about the men's singles finals because we had Nadal break that three-way tie for Grand Slam titles held by him, Federer, and Djokovic.
That's insane.
Insane. So now he's got 21.
Wasn't he winning two sets down or something?
It was a crazy game. So he's two sets down. They're playing the third set. And I think they're on like 4-2. So 4 to Medvedev, 2 to Nadal. And Medvedev was on 40. Nadal was on 0. And he managed to like pull up through that. And like I think one thing about Medvedev as a player, which you can really see, like, the kind of immaturity there and the lack of time he spent on the court, because he was getting beaten down as soon as Nadal kind of started rising up.
I have a question for you, and I can't remember. I asked you this earlier. Do you think it made any difference with Novak's Djokovic not
you
playing?
See, I don't want to say yeah, because you
obviously
know what?
It would have.
It could have. But, like, Djokovic, like, you don't know where he would have fallen in the rankings. You don't know whether he would have been in the final. I think that, historically,
You don't think that's been tainted by the fact that he wasn't there?
I don't
there.
Think it's been tainted,
oh,
no.
Oh, good, good, good.
I think that it was a very... I think the thing about this win was it was an extremely well-deserved win. The AI... So they had an AI that was kind of giving every player a ranking before each game. It had Medvedev to win at 96%.
Holy
it gave
shit.
Nadal a 4% odds of winning. Medvedev is like the second in the world. He's a fantastic player. But I think what cinched it for Nadal was like he just had that thing where like he would do missteps. He would do some quite uncharacteristic missteps as well. It wasn't getting to him, and you could tell. Like you could tell that shit would happen and he'd kind of put it behind him. He'd move on with the game.
Good question. Do you think he got to the point where he's thinking, you know what, I've lost this, I'm just going to play?
I don't think he did. Because he came, I think as soon as that third set started turning around for him, he, like, was in it to sort of get there. Because, I mean, the second set was close. The second set went to a tiebreak, which I think was won by Medvedev 5-7. So it was close, and he did have a shot. But then that's the other thing. Like, Oz Open, Nadal hasn't typically had good luck there. He's won once.
Now, did the crowd played a bit of a big part in it as well, apparently afterwards when it all was...
The crowd allegedly did play. Okay, here's the thing. Fucking tennis Grand Slams, you've got, like, Wimbledon, France, US, very different crowds than Australia. Mm. And I think that's just one of the characteristics of the Oz Open is the crowd is going to be a bit rowdier. They might be a bit harsher, and I know it was getting to Medvedev, but at the same time, I think it's really important to remember that for these diehard tennis fans, Nadal has this, like, very sentimental value to them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Medvedev hasn't earned that yet. And, like, he was coming up. You don't have the big three in this Grand Slam, so a lot of people would have been putting their weight behind Nadal. And, you know, they didn't even know if he'd make it. He had surgery on his foot in September. He got COVID in December. They didn't know he was going to make it to this Grand Slam until a few weeks ago, and so it was like, to have him there was like such an amazing feeling for all these players. And then it was sort of like, you know, he's in the final, he wins the final, and he's broken this record, the men's record.
I think it's really good for that competition as well, because there was so much controversy at the beginning with all that stuff.
Yes.
And then for it to come out and be this good is a good advert for them, really.
And it is, and it was really great. And yes, I know the crowd played a part, and Medvedev did talk about that quite a bit in his post.
I actually read that and thought, oh, come on, man, you lost.
You know what? I'm going to come to that later in our later segment.
I'm going to
get more into that. But I think an important thing to remember is, like, I mean, any freaking final that Nadal has played against Federer in France, do you think anyone at Roland Garros is cheering for Nadal over Federer? Like, no. They all deal with this. Absolutely fucking not. And they all... Are we swearing on this podcast?
Yeah.
It's just coming out.
But it's just
It's part of my culture.
It's part
of
my culture.
Sorry, I have to edit that bit out.
It's part of my culture. But it's just the nature of it. Like, it is just the nature of the game. And, like, where you are plays a big part in who's going to be cheering for you. And unfortunately, Medvedev hasn't earned his support yet. He is a very good player. And he's like...
Where's he come from?
Russia. Well, that was another thing. He was like, I'm Russian, and people don't like Russians. And it's like, to be fair, I get that. I get it in a lot of sports, but tennis is one sport. Yeah. People don't really care. They genuinely don't. Like, they're not going to not cheer for you because you're Russian. They're going to not cheer for you because you're being a bit of a dick. Like,
it's such a diverse, like, tennis is such a diverse sport once you think about it.
Yeah.
But, like, tennis is, they definitely focus more on the person themselves, though.
You reckon?
I think. I mean, like, I think it's pretty diverse. As far as, like...
It's very white.
Oh, true.
I was thinking.
Best in the world, Serena Williams, and, you know, you get people from...
True. I mean, men's singles and women's singles. And I do want to clarify that while Nadal broke the record for the men's Grand Slam titles, he's still... Two behind Serena Williams, who holds the ultimate record.
Do you think he will carry on? When's the next one in Paris?
Yeah, so the next one's the French Open. We've got that, I think, around the end of May. It's really hard to say. Him and... I mean, that's the thing. Both him and Federer are, like, battling injuries. You see them getting injured a lot more.
It must so much break your body. I mean, the things they put themselves through. Do you know what I mean?
Game as well. This game was 5.5 hours. 5 hours and 24 minutes.
And it must
have
been well hot as well.
It was, bloody hot. It's 5.5 hours. This is a 35-year-old man. You could see, like, he didn't have the energy to be, like, celebrating or anything. This guy's freaking tired. Fair enough. And he
brilliant.
But, like, he doesn't have the stamina of, like, Medvedev, who's, like, coming in at 25, is quite a young buck in the sports. So, like, it's very, very impressive. And I think that speaks a lot to just, like, the focus and drive he had to want to win this. And, like, that's something that the crowd can feel. When they feel that, they want that for you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's a very big part of the Oz Open as well. I think the issue was, in Australia, it's not, they're not just kind of cheering for who they want to win, but there is a lot of, like, they're cheering when Medvedev misses, or, like, they're kind of clicking their tongues
but
at him
over a fan over a fan favorite like Nadal.
Exactly.
You know, so do you think that Medvedev definitely maybe had a lot of overconfidence coming into this tournament?
Because,
you know, the young guy trying to knock off the, we see it in so many sports.
We do see it.
The young guy trying to knock off the old...
The old young gung slinger.
The old, the old vet.
I know, and the thing is, it's going to happen. I don't think it's quite time yet. He's still a little bit underripe.
I just, I hope he gives up when he's at the top and not when he starts to get smashed. I would imagine it, that's where I like to see sportsmen to leave. When they're at the top of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, shit, like Djokovic is 40, I think. Federer and Nadal are like 35. And Djokovic is actually holding up very well for 40. But the other two are definitely sort of... It's taking a harder toll on their bodies, as it would.
Is there like a new group of players coming through now?
Yeah. And
so there's like new generation coming through.
Yeah, so that's like the group with like Medvedev and Stefanos Tsitsipas. So he's a great player, definitely one to watch. Oh, there's Dominic Thiem.
Okay.
He's another one who definitely shouldn't be overlooked for the French Open either, I don't think.
Andy Murray's finished, isn't he?
I think so.
He's finished ages ago.
He's
all
done.
Of a sudden he's become a Scottish tennis player, whereas before he was British.
Nah, he's
gone.
Nothing
to do with him anymore now.
They've like, so you see it in media coverage and stuff, it's slowly like been going from the big four to the big three now. Yeah. So I think I think he's out on the outs, and I think he's generally kind of done. Which the other three are not. And I think this like tie break that they've been in.
Yeah. Sure,
been
it's the excitement of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like they kind of know that they're the three players at the top of their game. They know that they've got a lot of work to do. So it's exciting for them to like sort of have each other, and that's where players like Medvedev still need to find their footing in relation to those three. These three have long established relationships. They've been such integral parts of one another's careers. They can't really... I mean, Medvedev only really started coming on the scene in like 2018, 2019.
He's got a lot of growing to do. He's still a young player.
A lot of growing to do.
Yeah.
And I think, but we will talk about him a bit more later because I do have a little bit more to say.
Do I have the floor?
Well, you got the microphone, mate. How are we going to get out if you got the floor? I've got the ceiling then. You can have the walls. Together we can make a house.
Stop.
Here we go.
And that's what we do here at the Playbook. Sweet, yeah. So, you know, with this sports podcast, like I think that we all have a certain dynamic of sports across the board and definitely across the world. So I think I feel like I should probably touch into the United States side of the globe.
That big side.
The NFL conference champs, we saw the Rams beat the 49ers 20-17. Then we also saw the Bengals beat the Chiefs 27-24, which means that the Rams and the Bengals will face off in the Super Bowl on February the 14th, I believe. And we also
Valentine's Day, is it?
Yeah, Valentine's Day. That's insane.
I know what I'll be doing.
Yeah, same as I'll be doing, same as normal. Fuck all.
Exactly. It's okay. I might give. I'll probably give that a watch.
You watch the whole thing because it's quite. It's an entertainment. You get like half time. And
the thing is, the Super Bowls is. It's more an entertainment event than it is a sports event. I feel like everyone watches the commercials and the halftime show.
That's the thing with me. I can never get into it because like they make an hour game last like 4 weeks or what it feels
it's quite
like.
Quite the spectacle.
They're just timeouts for adverts and it's just it does my head in.
And the money in Super Bowl ads as well.
Exactly.
Insane.
Yeah. The viewership. If you're gonna put an ad on TV, you want to do it during the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know. We also saw Tom Brady confirm his retirement. Rob and I were talking about this earlier. He's the GOAT. Like, interesting guy.
Wow, that's why I put it.
Yeah, that's the way we put it. But like, regardless, he's He's you know, he's well decorated. He's definitely one of the best all time.
Has he talked about retiring before? Didn't he like leave one club to go to somewhere else? We've been for ages.
He was with the Patriots. He was with the Patriots, and he won like I think two or three titles with the Patriots, and then he went over to the Buccaneers.
How old is he now?
I think he's like 37. 87, close. 36. I think he's like 37. He might be in his 40s. Let me look up his age.
God, talking about all these players, it's like making me feel like there's a real shift up happening now of some of these players, like some of these really iconic players coming to the end of their.
Well, he's 44. He's 44.
Wow, that's quite.
How long do you play football for?
So you're 44.
22 seasons. 22 seasons plus 7 Super Bowl titles.
That's
heaps. He must have a few, Bob, doesn't he?
Ew.
Because it's the love of the game.
Yeah, sure.
A few days ago, it was speculated, but now he has confirmed it. So yeah, wish him well with his retirement. And yeah, look forward to seeing how the Super Bowl goes.
I just looked it up. The cost for 30 seconds of airtime of a Super Bowl ad, $6 million.
Very rarely am I speechless, but I'm going to say this. There you go. Nothing.
That was Rob being speechless.
That is outrageous.
Oh, there's absolutely no need for that.
Who made that up? Oh, it's going to cost us $6 million for that. Yeah, okay, mate.
That's up 9.1% from the $5.5 million last
year. Imagine signing off on that.
That was more reasonable.
That was more reasonable.
Yeah, I'll pay that, mate.
How do I get on the other end of that? Hey, yeah, guys, anyone want to have an ad on the playbook?
We're doing for $25 and a cup of tea. Each.
Specify each. I want to move on to the UFC because I feel like the UFC is definitely making
news. Let's just get it out there. Sure thing, isn't it?
It is what I'm most enthusiastic about. I do not claim to be an complete expert on the sport.
No, I should do, mate. No one cares.
Claim
whatever you want on these sort of things, and people believe everything. Just look at some of these people, other people that do podcasts. Don't want to mention any names, but we're still on Spotify. That's all I say.
I mean, that's a fair play. Make sure to keep that in there as well. I don't edit that out. Yeah, look, it's the sport that I'm looking to compete in. Mixed martial arts, I think, is a great sport, and it's blowing up at the moment. And it's really, you know, I think that compared to other combat sports, the UFC is the one organization, as well as some other ones, like ONE Championship and stuff, putting on fights where the best fight the best. And I think that that's the most important aspect of combat sports.
But now who runs this? Is that...
It's Dana White. Dana White.
Okay, who is a dick, really? Do you think...
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we should touch on this. I think Dana White... definitely revolutionized the game, but I do think he does take advantage of his fighters.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot about him taking advantage of the fighters.
I think he's a very, very money oriented,
driven, absolutely
person. And I mean, just from his treatment of like female UFC fighters, it's very, very clear that like his mind's on profit.
It's like me with football. I love Tottenham, but I love the club, but I hate the people in charge. Whereas you love this sport, but the person in charge of it is a bit of a knob end.
Yeah, and you know what? And now that we talk about it, I guess this is a perfect time to bring this up. You know, Dana White has definitely been in the firing line a lot more for the treatment of fighters. And, you know, we've seen a lot more people stand up to him. And in fact, Mark Hunt was one of the first guys to really stand up to...
Who's he?
He was a UFC fighter from New Zealand.
Okay.
Probably before Israel Adesanya, probably the most famous UFC fighter out of New Zealand. And he his last fight in the UFC was against Brock Lesnar.
He's the geezer from the wrestling. He's a meathead. I saw him. The first time I watched MMA, he was fighting this little bloke, and he'd come out, and this little bloke just swatted him. Like, it was all over him 30 seconds. He come down, he's like got no neck, his head's straight on his shoulders. He's just like a muscle.
Yeah, no, because that thing, he looks like a meathead as well, eh?
He's, sorry, mate. No, I mean, like, that's... Brock has that reputation. But obviously he got...
A twat.
Oh, I think he's just a very, like, I don't know, Brock. I don't know. He's not like the most technical fighter.
Actually, I've got to be honest with you. I think a lot of these people aren't. It's a lot of persona. They earn a lot of money. They're not mugs. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, if you look at guys like Conor McGregor. Now, look, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a massive Conor McGregor fan, and I do agree with what Rob just said. He can be a bit of a dick sometimes.
He's a total dick.
But
he's a clever. He knew that being a pantomime villain.
Yeah,
that worked for him, and people would pay to go and see him getting smashed over.
Exactly.
Basically,
he was the stereotypical heel. But yeah. So you know, with Dana White in the firing line, you know, we saw it. Our beloved Jake Paul drop a diss track on him. For his lack of well treatment for fighters. Also, we also saw Khabib, the former undisputed lightweight UFC champ.
Yeah, I'm not, to be honest with you, it's not my thing, but he's the
legit.
Greatest of all time.
He's
probably
legit.
The best ever.
Arguably, but definitely up there as far as the lightweight division goes. So dominant. He obviously retired after he beat Justin Gaethje, I think it was a number of years ago. And, you know, he's gone on now to open up his own promotion, Eagle FC. Which is really cool because now you see former fighters or former UFC signed fighters compete in that organization where their treatment or where their health and their money is of a great priority compared to, the UFC. So we've got guys like Kevin Lee, Sugar Rashad Evans, who was quite prominent back in the day. That's really cool to see. So it's great to see other organizations prioritizing fighter health.
Sports and politics. What are you going to do? One hand you have sports, and then the other hand you have politics.
Huh?
Right, now this week, each week we're going to talk about something that's very interesting, might be a little bit controversial, might not. And this week is sports washing, which the word first came into use in 2015 when Azerbaijan hosted the European Games. And Amnesty International brought it back into the spotlight in criticism against United Arab Emirates investing in English football. Basically, if you don't know what it is, sports washing is the process where you get all the sports equipment and you get some personal. No, it's not. It's a process where a country or regime with a bad human rights record uses sport as a way of creating positive headlines, which ends up as a positive spin about their countries.
It's propaganda.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's definitely not a new thing either.
Yeah.
Great Britain saw sports as a way to distract from the oppression of during colonialism.
It's
me turning over a page. Hitler tried it in 1936 at the Berlin Olympics as an opportunity to show off its alleged racial superiority, which gloriously backfired because it was really horrible. And, I mean, you've got China, Saudi Arabia and Qatar are all accused of human rights violations, and all three are playing host or have recently done so to some of the most lucrative sporting events in the world. Saudi Arabia has spent more than $1.5 billion to stage sporting events. This includes the annual Spanish Football Super Cup, international men and women's golf tournaments, and wrestling, but that's WWE, so that's not really sport. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. And last year's Grand Prix. The brand new track is owned by a US-based company called Liberty Media Corp. They signed a 10-year deal with the Kingdom worth a reported £650 million, right? And recently, they just bought 80% stake in Newcastle for £400
million.
Jeez. So they've got so much money to buy in that trouble. Now, when they bought Newcastle, I was actually, a little while ago, they actually looked at buying Tottenham. And I just didn't want it to happen. I know we'd have had lots of money,
you
but
made
I
sure that didn't happen.
I made a couple of phone calls to a few people, and it didn't happen. But the fans didn't care.
Yeah,
they don't care.
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned, they're now the richest football club in the world, and in maybe 5 or 6 years' time, they could be one of the most important and most influential teams in the world.
Despite the name, sports washing, it is quite a dirty game, isn't it?
It's disgusting. Qatar have done, they're hosting the World Cup. They're just outrageous what they've done. And you've got China with the Winter Olympics, which we'll talk about later. Mm. And they've got all that trouble, with that tennis player who's disappeared. Who accused, accused an official, it was a sexual assault thing.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah, that guy from the
because I remember when I think it was in the tennis in Melbourne, a load of people had T-shirts on saying, where is she? And she was told to leave by security, got them to go away. So that's almost like sports washing as well. Mm. It's a thing that has been going on because sport distracts people
from what's actually going on. What's happening?
You could go as far back as the Romans and the gladiators. Or was that sports?
No, because
things are that shit. What we'll do, something there, and then everybody will forget and think how wonderful
we
are.
The thing is, it's just gone way too far.
Yeah.
At this stage, and now it's like you're playing with money that is so inaccessible that people can't even comprehend that.
I mean, the money we're talking about just makes my head explode.
Yeah,
just...
God, it's insane.
What do you reckon, Joe?
I mean...
You hadn't really heard about this till I talked to you about it the other day, innit?
Yeah, so basically, I came across an article talking about sports washing, and I think I texted it to you. I'm like, what do you think of this? And Rob goes, I've heard about this for a while. And I'm like, this is the first I'm hearing about this. And it's crazy because Rob brought up a really, this was earlier today, he brought up a really good point when he said that it almost distracts you. The fact that, no one really talks about sports washing that much, or you don't really pay attention to it because you're more concentrated on the sport itself, on the competitive side of the sport. It's crazy. And the fact that reading an article, I think it was published by The Guardian,
we get all our stuff from Guardian if they're listening, because I know lots of the most stuff I've learnt about New Zealand's been in The Guardian. Just a little side note there. There you go.
Same, to be honest. Yeah. Reading, I believe it was published by The Guardian, I'm not too sure, saying that 2022 was going to be the one year where sports washing was definitely quite prominent. With the controversy happening in China at the moment, or has been over the last few years. And with the Winter Olympics being held there.
And Qatar.
And especially with Qatar, with the FIFA World Cup coming up later this year. I think that's around August. Or actually, maybe it might be around November. It's crazy. And I think that, I don't know. Is there any solution to this? Because I feel like this is...
Well, no, because money is God. It's as simple as that.
Exactly.
Money talks, and governments
and
will look the other way.
And people are always going to turn a blind eye for a certain amount of dollars, and I think that's the problem, is that now that it's such a money game, as you were saying, those people, the Newcastle fans, they don't care where the money comes from, they do care about being the richest club in the UK.
And that, what is really ironic is they might get relegated, and it's really bad because I know a few Newcastle supporters, and they're good people. They're like all of us who are into football. But the people that own 80% of your club are just disgusting murderers. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But they are, just the things they've done. Throw a few dollars about and forget about it, mate. They don't work. Yeah. It shouldn't work.
Yeah, you got to hold them accountable. That's the thing with athletes. I feel like athletes definitely get put on a pedestal. Where they don't have to be held accountable for some things. In this case, it's especially as well as government officials. In this case, this something definitely has to. To be honest, not much can be done.
All we can do is say, look, it's happening. Let's make everybody aware that although they're throwing money, just go there, take their money, and just give them the finger. That's the best thing to do, isn't it? To say, yeah, I don't know. The only thing you can do is let everybody be aware of it. No, we can't do anything about it. Mm. We can't say, it's probably a waste of time talking about it then, really, isn't it? No, we can't change the world.
No, it's not, because I think what we can do about it is talk about it, because that's the fucking problem. The problem is that people don't want to talk about it, and that means that that just makes it easy for everyone to turn a blind eye, whereas, by talking about it, informing people of it...
See, the classic example, when Russia had the World Cup...
Yeah.
Another thing is sports washing. When people were coming back from Russia, they're going, do you know what? Like people, it's actually quite nice over there. And they were wrong, but it sort of, I think it works for a little bit. And then you get back to where you come from, you think, you know what? These people are disgusting. But they've got all the money, so we'll do whatever we want. I don't know, it's money. Maybe we need to get rid of that. Don't know what we can use.
Let's go back to bartering.
Oh, that's probably another podcast in that one.
Trading sheep?
I'll give you brilliant.
New
five
Zealand.
Sheep for two cows.
Yeah.
Two goats.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what's to be done with it all. Wherever there's money, there's, you know, corruption. Just you look at every sporting organisation, FIFA, were well known for it.
Yeah.
Sepp Blatter was just was an animal when it comes to it. Every sport's corrupt, really.
I mean,
God, it's depressing, isn't it?
shall we move on?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. We'll talk about something a little bit more entertaining or a little bit jollier next week.
Dickhead of the week. I can't do it.
Do you want to kick us off, Rob?
Yes, I'm going to. Oh, right.
We're talking about it now,
I've gone to America.
Okay.
The land of the weirdos. And I've gone to Florida, the land of no masks.
Oh, God.
Rob Holcomb set a new world Guinness World Record for the fastest mile while pushing a child in a pram. He did it in 4 minutes, 53 seconds in Florida, and his child looked absolutely petrified.
Oh.
What a dick. You know, maybe do it with a potato or like a bag of sugar
There's
or something.
There's no need
thing.
To do that
you
with
don't have
your
to
kids.
Do it with a baby. But you had to have, that was the rules because it was America.
Why kid? Like, why?
Well, because it was a pram, like a stroller. So you maybe a watermelon would have been better.
Is that like under the rule set? Or
no, you had proper rules for it and everything.
So the record he was trying to break was for a kid?
Well, it was the world record of pushing a pram.
Yeah. With a child.
With a child in it. And he did it in 4 minutes, 53 seconds. Aww. And you're just a dick, mate. Just...
Traumatising.
Sorry?
Traumatising.
Yeah, exactly. These little kids just like white knuckle ride when you're like 6 months old.
Six months? Oh, that's... No, that's not. That's not okay.
That is not on.
No.
That is... Oh,
so geez. that is my dick of the week.
I mean, I talked to Rob earlier and I said that would only happen in Florida.
Yeah, of course it would. It was great that you could see, like, they were filming it and you couldn't see a mask anywhere.
Of course you couldn't.
So there you go. Who's yours? Have you got one?
I think Dana White. I think Dana White's probably my
pick
of the week.
You could do him every week, I think. So you'll be offers, and next week it can't be him again.
Yeah, Rob was telling me, like, when Rob was telling me, asking me earlier today, do you have a dickhead of the week? And I'm like, I'm not sure. And then... He says, what do you think of Dana White? And I think he's a dick. And then he's like, well, there you go. But he said, you should do it every week. And I'm like, to be honest, that's not a bad point. Look, as much as Dana White has, for all the good he's done for the sport, I think it's hard to support something the way he's treating his fighters. Like,
someone who is just a dick. Like, I'm sorry, he's not the dick of the week because he's done a dickish thing this week. He is... just through and through a bit of it.
Yeah, he's more of a peen ass. Okay, so how about you then?
Yeah, Anika.
Well, I mean, I said I would come back to it at the start.
Yeah.
My dick of the week was Medvedev. I thought that his press conference after the match was absolutely abhorrent. That was like the most
classless.
Ungracious thing.
Totally classless.
So classless. He got up there like a whiny little baby, was like, the crowd wasn't cheering for me. I don't want to go to like the French Open. I don't want to go to Wimbledon. I only want to play in Russia because in Russia people cheer for me.
Well,
it's like, no, people don't cheer for you because you're a 25-year-old who's been in the leagues for like three, like been, you know, a player on everyone's radar for like 3 years.
See, now the unfortunate thing is now he's never going to win that crowd back. If he could be quite fantastic, he's going to go, they're just going to give him so much shit now.
But it's just so unsportsmanlike to get up. Because, I mean, that's the thing about like these tennis, like any 1v1 sport, you build up these very personal rivalries in tennis. But you fucking lose. You get up there, you're like, Nadal played a great game.
Yeah.
He broke that record. I've always looked up to him. Fantastic. Good on you. I will see you at the French Open and we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
Everyone has a bit of a laugh. We move on. They come back. And it's like, people know that this guy's at the start of his career. Like, he's in that next generation of really great tennis players that are on everyone's eye to watch. But Nadal is in that set of, like, the current slash slightly older set of tennis players who have, like, really paved the way in terms of, like, just being iconic to this generation of tennis fans.
You should almost, I've know some sportsmen, when they get abuse, they actually use it.
Yeah.
You use that to like rev yourself up. And that's what you should have. And as you say, at the end of it, you should have gone, you know what, you played better. Thank you so much. That was a brilliant game.
Exactly. Even
if you don't mean it.
You could have had Djokovic come and be like a little baby about the fact that he didn't. I mean, because he was the clear favourite to win. He didn't want to get vaccinated. That's on him. But he could have come and been a little baby about the fact that he probably would have thought that he would have won if he played. I am not going to pass comment. But no, he didn't. He released a lovely statement congratulating Nadal.
I actually felt really bad about it because all week I've been thinking, oh, you fucking wanker.
Yeah.
And then that was class.
It was so sweet. And like Federer also released a lovely statement. And I think both of their statements, because they had talked about how, like, you know, their relationship between three of them, like, they keep each other in check, they keep each other good players, and
mates? I mean, obviously, they're on the circuit all the time.
I think they're mates.
Go out and have, like, a cup of tea? Like,
in my head, they do.
We'll keep it at that, yeah.
I really like to think so. But, like, that's the thing, I think it just shows there's this, like, sportsmanship between them, which you have to have to produce those really good games. Yeah. And that's the problem. I just thought that, like, the way Medvedev was acting was so childish. And it really has been since, like, I think it was either 2018 or 2019, he jumped up from, like, 99th in the rankings to, like, 64th. And then, like, you know, over the course of another year, jumped from, like, 64th to, like, 15th. So he had those, like, big jumps, and then it's kind of a steady rise, right? He's number two in the world. No one is doubting that he's a good player, but that was a fantastic game that Nadal fought to win. Like, he really dug deep and fought to win that game, and you could see that. And I just don't understand how someone who loves tennis couldn't have so much respect for that.
When you watched the game, was you going mad?
I didn't think he was going to get it. But then...
Was you, like, supporting him?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm going to support Nadal over this, like, young buck, because, like, I've seen him play a lot more. He, like, means a lot to me in the, like, terms of the sport than this guy who's just sort of come on the scene. And that's the thing. But I think the thing is, watching it, you don't think it's that feeling of, like, you go into the third set and all of a sudden he starts turning it around, and that's an amazing feeling, because you're looking at this and you're like, he's lost this match, and all of a sudden it's like, a wait, maybe he hasn't, and maybe he could bring it back. And that is a great feeling. Like, I totally understand why the crowd was going crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. And yes, it's not very nice to have people sort of not supporting you and actively not supporting you.
Like, fuck them. I'm just going to play my own game and I'm going to shut
them. That's also the nature of the Aussie Open. That's where the Aussie Open differs from any of the other Grand Slams, is that the crowd is going to be like that. They always have been.
Yeah.
You can't watch it and not realise that. And I just, like, don't know. It was just very conceited, and it just gave you this feeling of looking at this guy and being like, ew, why should... Like, yeah, you're a good player. It takes more than just being a good player to build up that strong fan base.
Can't be that Nadal emotional. Can't be that emotional, though. Like, sorry to interrupt. I feel like a chip on your shoulder, like he would have, was going to stunt your growth at that level. He's at such a high level right now.
Exactly.
And any sort of, you know, he should take any sort of learning experience, especially against a guy like Nadal.
And there's a way to be emotional about it and be like, hey, look, you know, I thought I had it. Turns out I didn't. He came back, he fought it. But, you know, we'll see what happens at Roland Garros.
You win the next one. You go
and win the next one.
Exactly.
You go and see him
now,
again.
I think it'd be easy to get into his head now.
Well, he was saying that he didn't want to go to the French Open and to Wimbledon. Like, he was saying that he just wanted to, like, play this, like, tiny little bitch-ass tournament in Moscow that no one cares
about. Oh,
well,
on your bike
then,
see you later.
Like, honestly. And I think it's also a shame for people who are, like, for big tennis fans who know that these big three players are kind of on the outs.
Yeah.
And are looking for this new generation, because he's at the top of...
Well, he'll be the pantomime villain, which now we know every sport needs one. You need someone to like, oh, I want you to lose.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that he needs serious media training.
Yeah.
Or
maybe that's what will happen. Maybe some good will come from it. Someone will sit him down and go, mate, just shut up.
Someone should.
Just behave yourself.
It was just very unsportsmanlike. And I think it was also just very disappointing because this amazing thing had just happened, right? Yeah. This really incredible game was played. Maybe if
they didn't talk to him then and talk to him the next day, it would have been completely different. He would have calmed down. Maybe that's a bit of adrenaline pumping. He's trying to find someone to blame rather than saying, oh, I fucked that up. Oh, shit, actually. Well played.
And I think his lack of experience on those big courts, it did come through in his playing.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell that sort of when Nadal started coming up there, he was making little missteps. He was doing little mistakes. And you could tell they were getting to him. Like, it was very apparent that he was getting affected by it. He was getting quite, like, aggravated. And I think that's something that you just learn when you're a seasoned athlete. You learn how to deal with that. And that's clearly something he's still dealing with, which is fine. And it happens, but it's part of that growing process. It's how you become one of the greats.
Exactly, yeah.
It's I don't know. It was just very disappointing and, like, you don't like to see it.
You're a dick.
So and because of that, you're a dick.
And I guess that's a great segue into the just real quick, we'll go what is into the fixtures for the future. What are you guys looking forward to?
Well, for me, I've got to wait another week for football, but we got the Winter Olympics coming up. And I like some of that. I like curling, only because of the fact I like to see them go absolutely mad with a broom. For no apparent reason.
The Winter Olympics are fun.
Yeah,
they're always fun.
Like, those sports are, like, freestyle skiing. So the New Zealand Winter Olympics team has a ton of freestyle skiers.
Well, a couple of them won medals at the X Games.
So a couple of them... Oh, no. So one of them won... Oh, at the X Games, of course. At the last Games, one of them won a bronze medal.
Yeah.
A young guy. And then one of our chicks won a bronze for snowboarding. So we've got, like, freestyle skiers, we've got snowboarders, I think we've got a couple of speed skaters, and that sort of, I think, makes up the bulk of our Olympic
team. Is there a curling team?
No, New Zealand doesn't have a curling team.
Because I think they'd come from Dunedin or somewhere like that if you had a curling team.
You should go start one.
They're all farmers or something like that.
I don't know. Curling is that one sport that just kind of draws you in, eh? You're like, huh.
It's so intense for no, like, reason. Like, you're so drawn to the, I'll have to do some more research. Maybe for next week we can look at curling.
Yeah. No, I just like it. There's an island off of Scotland where all the curling stones are made from one little island.
Oh, what?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Imagine being on that island.
Yeah. There's nothing of it because it's been made into curling things. I don't know what you call them. They're like kettles.
Oh, man. That starts February 4th.
Curling,
so that starts from the 4th to the 20th.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I just... Yeah, the Winter Olympics are a lot of fun to watch. It's just a lot of random
Turn the telly on and you see someone, like, with skis and a rifle. You think, this is going to end really
well. Oh, my God, yes! Wait, oh, what's that? Is that the... That's not the Bayer.
I don't know, but it's...
Yeah, it is. I think it is the biathlon.
Is that the one where
it could almost be sinister, do you know what I mean? Especially if, like, you've got a balaclava on or something.
I think we have an athlete doing that.
Brilliant.
But we love some figure skating. I love the figure skating.
Yeah, sometimes it's all right.
It's pretty good. Like, I mean, they're pretty talented. Keen for some ice hockey as well.
Ice hockey goes hard.
Ice hockey goes so hard.
You ever been to an ice hockey game?
Yeah.
They're crazy, dude.
They're wild.
They're so
crazy. You've just got these massive guys, gliding around so gracefully on the ice.
And then all of a sudden it's
like face in the glass.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a really entertaining sport.
What's wrong with you? You like bashing people. You like people being smashed into glass.
Fun.
That's what sports.
No, ice hockey is so fun. And then they've got their little timeout box when they're naughty. Oh, my God, I love it. Cannot get enough.
There are naughty Mac. Naughty corner.
There's, oh my God, the luge. You guys into luge?
Yeah. All of it, really. Because it's something you only see once every 4 years. Or if you're watching a James Bond movie.
God, remember that Aussie who won the speed skate? It was quite a while back. So basically, this Aussie guy, he's in the speed skate finals. No one knows how he got there. Everyone, he's coming dead last. Everyone in front of him just falls over and he just sails past the finish line and it's just like...
Yeah, that, I think sometimes with that skiing stuff, I remember seeing one, it was speed skating and someone had given up their whole life for 4 years.
Yeah, oh.
And then it went bang, first corner, they fell over and that was it. Gone, see you later.
Oh, that's shit.
Just, you know, it's so bang.
I mean, that's like... That really speaks to a lot of sports, really.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, and we'll talk about that more next week.
Yeah, so we will have a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Like Rob out.
Well, Rob that out, guys. That wraps up for the first playbook.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.